Well, hello. Good to see you again here. We're taking up Jeremiah. This is our little trek through Jeremiah. We're in chapter 2 today, but I hope you're able to read that chapter 2 ahead of time here so that we can grab these nuggets. We're just searching through here looking for nuggets. You know, the Word of God is the same today as it was then. The heart of God is the same today as it was then. My heart is the same as these people, you know? Man hasn't changed. Even though I might be a new creature in Christ, I still have the old nature, and I still have the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that are fighting me, right? And so all these still are things. So these things apply to my heart. They apply to the people of God today, in this day we live in. It applies to the nations. And so I just like to be able to kind of look at things from different angles as we go through the book of Jeremiah. Okay, so with that, let's crack open the second chapter here, where it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord, the first fruits of his increases. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, What injustice have your fathers found in me? Have they gone far from me? Have followed idols and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, Where is the Lord? Who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and a shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The spirits, the priests did say, Where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that did not profit. You know, it's interesting to see Jehovah God is bringing this out. He says, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I took you through the wilderness. You couldn't have survived. I gave you everything. And then I rolled you after 40 years, after we learned a few things, I rolled you into Israel, into the land of Canaan, that is, and everything was prepared for. There was crops ready to go. All you had to do is slay the people as I've commanded you to do. Their wickedness, some people say, oh, why were they slain? It's because their wickedness, the land of Canaanites, their wickedness had steeped up to God in a way that says, enough is it. And if you look for references, we've got references on the wickedness of the Canaanites not being yet fulfilled, and it finally did get fulfilled. But he brings the children of Israel into this land, and then eventually they say, well, who's God? Who's God? And their priests are offering to Baal the wickedness. And so God is like, what? Why is this happening? You know, well, the heart of man is fickle, and the heart of the man, when we go through the luxury of life, we often forget God and his graciousness to me. Let me give an example. The plate of food is put in on the table right before me. The plate of food. I don't care if it's at a restaurant. I don't care if it's at my dining room table. A plate of food is put on the is put there. Do I really, really appreciate the fact that there is food in front of me? Because we live in a land of bounty. I'm talking United States of America, Canada, whatever it is. We live in a land of plenty. Do I really appreciate there's a food on the table? Do I appreciate the fact that I was able to sleep last night? Do I appreciate the fact that I'm able to walk? And so it's a common thing in our hearts that when all the life is going good, we find ourselves just, who's God? I don't know who God is, and now I'm going to go chase idols. We're going to get into that as we go on. There are idols today. Today we're wrapping up 2023 at this time, you know, and as we move forward, we got idols. We're going to go over that as we go along. And yet these children of Israel, as soon as they, all the big vintages of all the harvests and all the foods and all the cities were all available to them as they rolled in, and they say, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? So I think that's very, very interesting to see that thing. I'm just kind of running through the second chapter and just to see if there's, let me see here, let me pull open here. Let's jump down to verse 13. Let's jump over here to verse 13 here. It says, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. Now that's interesting. Jehovah says, you know, you've done two things. You've given me up, the fountain of living waters, and you went ahead and built yourself so-called cisterns, stuff to hold water, and they're broken. They don't hold water. Isn't that striking? Just let that pause and think about that. Huh. I've given up the living water, but I go grab a hold of some kind of water. Remember that woman at the well? Do you remember that woman? And the Lord comes up to her and says, you know what? I can give you water that you'll thirst no more. And that's what people today are thirsty. And so they're going after their cisterns, their pots that they're trying to hold water in. And it just keeps on leaking out. It says broken cisterns that hold no water, right? And that's a challenge. It's a challenge. We go after other things that the water's not hold. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the water that you'll never have to drink again. You won't have to be thirsty again. I drink from it, but I'm never thirsty. So I've taken the Lord Jesus. So it's a beautiful thing to see. The fact is hold on to him as the living water. And then we get on down here to, let's go down to verse 25. I thought this was interesting. And now it's interesting when God tells man, you said this. And you can't, eventually you and I, if you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior, you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to go over the things that you did. No one else is going to be there with you. He's going to go over the things with you did, and he's going to go over the things I did. And when he says, you said, it's going to be a big deal because you know what? You know you said. You know you did. And so verse 25, let's see here. Verse 25. Withhold your foot from being unshod, your throat from thirst, but you said, there is no hope. No, I have loved aliens and after them I will go, right? I have loved strangers, it says in the King James Version, and after them I will go. This is utter forsaking of God. And I'm going to be very clear today that there is indeed a forsaking of Christ even amongst Christendom. You go, what? Yeah, let's get on through here and let's find out if we're really being the term is follower of Jesus. But what goes on is like, I don't see where the follower of Jesus is. I don't see what's going on here to be holy and sanctified unto God. Anyway, I digress a little bit there. So that's, and then verse, I'm going to jump back over here. Will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I have chastened your children. They receive no correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness? Why do my people say, we are lords? We will come no more to you. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Do you see how God, you know, as the word of his coming through Jeremiah, he looks and he's pleading with his people as they put away God and they say, we're following after these idols here. Who is God? And, you know, the enemy is so subtle. The enemy was working in that day and the enemy is working today as well. So let's get over into a few comments that Gabeline has on this chapter. Here in the second chapter that Gabeline has on Jeremiah, it says verses 1 through 3, the first message Jeremiah received begins with reminding Jerusalem of the kindness Jehovah bestowed upon the nation in her youth and how she went after him in the wilderness. He had separated Israel to belong to him to be a holy nation, the first fruits of his increase, which probably means that other nations should, through Israel, be called to know him. He was their protector, and those who tried to devour them would be held guilty. Well, you know, verse 4 through 11, we've kind of gone over this. After Jehovah had called to the remembrance of the people the days of her youth, he reproves them for their unfaithfulness. This is the opening chapter of the roll, which Jehudi read in the presence of Jehoiakim, which he threw into the fire after he mutilated with his penknife. Go to chapter 36, 23. Interesting little stuff going on behind the scenes here too, huh? The remonstrance starts with a pathetic question. What iniquity have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Was there anything unrighteous in him? Had he dealt in a treacherous way? Was the fault in Jehovah that they left him? They had not thought of his faithfulness as he led them out of Egypt, through the desert and the shadows of death. He was forgotten by them, and when Jehovah brought them into the land of promise, they had defiled the land. Priests, pastors, and prophets had apostatized. That's very good to understand this. Apostatized. Thus Jehovah states his case to plead with them and their children. Their folly and ingratitude were worse than that of the heathen nations. Such was the failure of the favored nation, the failure of Christendom. And I know if you're listening to this on the podcast with no visual, I went ahead and highlighted this out of the Kindle here for Gabeline. The failure of Christendom is even greater when we think of the great manifestation of God's love in the gift of his son and the greater blessings and deliverance. And then there's that verse that we read there in verses 12 through 18. The two evils are forsaking Jehovah. Number one, forsaking Jehovah, the fountain of living waters, and the hewing for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Well, that is the beautiful thing here, and we are going to get all the way down into verses 31 through 37, finalizing the chapter here. Israel's conduct was incomprehensible. Once more, it was the why of Jehovah. What had he done that they would turn away from him? Right? That's a good question. You know, God throws questions out, and, you know, it'd be nice to kind of understand that. What had he done that they would turn away from him? Can a maid forget her ornaments or her bride, her attire? Yet his people had forgotten him who had loved and adored them days without number. He will plead with them because they said, I have not sinned. So I just wanted to wrap up with this, and as that chapter wraps up, is keep in reminding God loves you. What's John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I think we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the fact that God loves me. He doesn't show himself manifestly across the table from me, but he gave me his word here. And if I fall down in full repentance before him for my sins, I can have my sins washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His son cleanses me from all sins. Yes, that is true. And that is beautiful. And then at the same time, as I'm now a child of God, a saint of God, I'm going to start using these terms more, because Apostle Paul used them, Peter uses them, all the apostles use these terms when you're talking about a child of God, is a saint of God, sons of God, child of God, a believer, a Christian. These are terms that are used in Scripture in the epistles, and it's good to get a hold of it, because there should be an endearing relationship that is between me and God. And so God is pleading with these people here. You know, the Israel, the 10 tribes, I haven't mentioned this yet. The 10 tribes, they've been carried off, right? They're just getting carried off. Assyria comes down and carries off the 10 tribes. Now you got 2 tribes left. And so that's the backdrop in which Jeremiah is prophesying here. He's prophesying. He's like, the other 10 tribes left. God took them away because of their idolatry. I think we're going to find it out coming up here where God even says, at least Israel, they forsook me, and they just forsook me. They were gone. They weren't even claiming to know me. And that's what a beef he has about with Judah, these 2 tribes, is they claim to know him, but they're carrying on with their idolatry. And that's a solemn thing. And I think that's what's going on today. And so it's going to be good to continue to enjoy this as we go along. And I hope that you're enjoying it as we go along here. Make sure you're reading the chapter ahead of time, huh? And that's a good thing to do, is read the chapter ahead of time. And so, oh, the peace of simply knowing on the cross that all was done. I hope you have that peace. I hope you have that peace, because there's not enough peace. There's not enough peace in this world, and the peace of God passes all understanding. It's a beautiful thing. So I hope you recognize the love of God. I hope you recognize the peace of God. If you don't have the peace of God and you don't know the love of God, then maybe it's time to fall down on our knees and cry out to God. Shut off all the electronics and cry to God. Spend some quiet time with him. And of course, make sure you have your Bible open and just go over this chapter and every chapter, whatever the chapter is, keep cranking it through. All right? All right, very good. If you have any questions, you know where to find me here out on Facebook and YouTube, Common Thoughts of Christ, or mark@commonthoughtsofchrist is the email, mark@commonthoughtsofchrist. And with that, I look forward to seeing you next time as we take up Jeremiah chapter 3.